us tonight. I want to minister a message that I've titled, Let My Life Song Sing to You. How many's ever heard that song on Christian radio? Let My Life Song Sing to You. It's a song that's probably, my guess would be 4, 5, maybe 6 years old. But what that says basically is, let what God has done in me glorify God. I love how Bernard ended that testimony when he said, I just want to glorify God. That testimony of Andrea, that glorifies God. He's our blesser, amen. He's our healer. We could go all night in this place just giving testimonies of the goodness of God. If we even started with just the salvation of how God saved us and what he brought us out of, some out of a hard life of drug addiction and alcohol and the places that you've been would just boggle the minds of many people. But God somehow, some way, captured you and saved you out of that darkness and touched your life. And you have a testimony. You have a life song. Amen. And in that life song, what happens is just by you breathing, you worship God. Think about that. You worship God. There's in that song, Let My Life Song Sing to You, what that's talking about, it really is living a life of worship. How many are just grateful today that you're saved? Amen. If you're not grateful, then you don't have an understanding of God's grace. Because once you understand God's grace and the mercy of God and how God saved you, I'm telling you what, there's just a gratitude that just bubbles out of you. I heard a story, I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday morning. Some of you may have even heard this story on the radio. This guy was sharing in a message about this little boy. And this little boy would walk to school, and on the way to school, he would pass this construction yard where they had all kinds of equipment, and they had two Rottweilers in there. This little boy, I don't know how old he was, maybe 8 or 9 years old. It's a true story. I don't know how recent it is, but I heard this guy telling this story on the radio just a couple days ago. And this boy would walk to school, and he liked those dogs. At first, he wouldn't get close to them, but as he would walk to school, he would talk to them. Every day, he'd get a little bit closer. Then one day he decided to take part of his lunch and he would feed those dogs. Then as he was walking by that chain link fence, he put his fingers through the chain link. And instead of the dogs attacking and biting him, they licked his fingers. And he thought, man, I'm making friends with these dogs. And he named them, and every day he'd walk to school. Well, one day he decided to hop over the fence, thinking these dogs are my friend. And he hopped over the fence, and those dogs that licked him all of a sudden turned into attack mode, and they started mauling him. I mean, you can imagine the scene that's taking place as these dogs, one would back off, the other one would jump in, and vice versa. And a cop happened to be driving by, and he sees this, and he stops the car, and he jumps over the fence, and he gets in between that dog, and the dogs start to attack the police officer. And he's able to get that kid over into the corner of the yard, and he saved that little boy's life. That little boy was mauled, but he survived the story. And the point of this preacher in telling this story was, if you were the boy, or if you were even the parent of that child, how grateful would you be to the police officer for saving your life? I'd be grateful if that was my kid and I knew that that police officer jumped in harm's way to save my little boy's life. I'm telling you what, it wouldn't just be saying, giving him a handshake and saying thank you. It would be years and years of gifts and gratitude and saying thank you so much because I have my son. And then he began to point out sin and how sin, a lot of times, you know, we begin to play around with sin. I mean, and, you know, his message was talking about the grace of God, but isn't it true? We can apply this to our life. You know, we become friends with it. You know, as long as we're between the chain link, we can put our finger through, you know, and it's just a playful thing until we jump over. And then all of a sudden, sin jumps on you and it begins to maul you. But there is a Savior. There is a God that loves you. And in spite of yourself and in spite of how many failures you have, he jumps in between you and the enemy, and he died on a cross and he saved you. And yet we're full of ingratitude. We don't got time for church. Oh, we've been saved. We've been there, answered the altar call. We ain't got time to read our Bible. We ain't got time. A person that is grateful doesn't just shake the police officer's hand. There's years and years of gratitude, pouring out praise. And that's really what our life as Christians ought to be, is a life that is a living, breathing worship and a life song unto God. Now, as we look at this passage of scripture, I'm going to read it here in a second, but I want to look at these three different characters in this story. Let's look at Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. It says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him and she was weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet,'" isn't that just like the Pharisees? "'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.'" Oh, my goodness, going to get right down in his backyard. "So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' 'Well, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' And Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Look at this. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' Those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sin?' Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you.'" What precious words. "Go in peace." Because here's a woman that came in that had no peace. She was tormented. She was overwhelmed with life and guilt and the burden of sin. And here Jesus looks at her and says, "Go in peace." So I want to look at these three characters as we move through this message quickly tonight. The first, of course, is the Pharisee. Now, I've known a few Pharisees in my day. Can you say amen? You say, who are the Pharisees? These were the religious leaders of that day. And the Pharisees were all about show. Amen? Jesus talks about this in Matthew 23:5 when he says, everything they do is for people to see. They wear their prayer boxes with scriptures inside. I'm telling you what, they walk in. They can quote any scripture that there is. Amen. I know there ain't no Pharisees. This is the most unreligious bunch in all Colorado Springs. Because we can't even get you guys to wear a tie. Amen. I don't even have a tie. See? I'm in the right place. Can you say amen? I'm talking about the church down the road. Amen. But here he's talking about these religious leaders. Amen. And they would have these ornate garments that they would wear. They were blue in color. They were made of the finest quality, and really what it symbolized when they put these on was righteousness. So they felt like as long as they wore these garments and they walked around, that they were holier or more righteous than anybody else. That was their perception of themselves, that they had the favor of God. So my first point tonight is this, if you're taking notes, our religious garments do not impress Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the exterior only, amen. I'm talking about the attitude that comes with that, the holier-than-thou attitude. I'm this because of my works, because of what I do, because of what I've accomplished, because what I do from sun up to sundown. And here we see this religious spirit, and we have this Pharisee that invites Jesus to his house. He wants to impress him. The great teacher, Jesus, he wants to impress him. How many know what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7? God doesn't look on the outward appearance. Amen. Talking of Samuel, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. Amen. They live not to worship, but they live to perform, and they perform to impress. Look at what I've done. Look at my attendance record. I dare you to look at my tithe record. Come on. They toe the line, they cross their T's, dot their I's. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God isn't impressed by our religious garments. And so he invites Jesus in, and the Pharisee, he begins to look at what's taking place here, and Jesus begins to challenge him. And he says, look, when I came in, you didn't do anything for me. And that's exactly how the religious people are today. Amen. They'll do everything as long as there's show behind it, but you try and get somebody in to come in and wash the toilets? I don't think so. Get them to drive a van? I don't think so. Amen. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. God's not impressed by our religious garments. Amen. So we'll just get that right out of the way, because I know there's nobody else in this place like that. Amen. Y'all just a bunch of sinners, okay? So we'll just go on right on to the next person. Number two, worship isn't something we do. It's who we are. You know, sometimes we think the only worship we can do is through singing. That's true in that you can worship, and singing is a great way to worship God. I love to worship. I love to sing. I love to put music on that glorifies God, and to sing with that music certain songs. I mean, they really move me. What a wonderful name it is. Amen. That's one of my favorite songs. Just go on down some of the different songs that we have, some of the older songs, Amazing Grace. It's a way to open yourself up and to worship. But I'm here to tell you something. Worship isn't one style. Worship is a lifestyle. It's who we are. Can you say amen? It's more than 20 or 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. Man, we went in and we praised and we worshiped God. Amen. I got in my car and I worshiped God. I got up in the morning and I worshiped God. I was out on the job site and I was worshiping God, because true worship is an attitude of the heart. So we see the second person in this story, this woman of the city, this woman who they, just by what they're saying, if he only knew who she was, well, that begins to paint a picture that here's a woman that didn't have a good lifestyle. Can you say amen? I preached in Breakaway on Friday night on Rahab. Anybody knows the story of Rahab and how God used Rahab to save the spies and to deliver the spies, and how God used her in that? Rahab, as I preached on Friday night, was in rehab. Amen. God was working some things out in her life. She got saved. Rahab the prostitute got saved. Can you say amen? And here's this woman of ill repute. She's had failures. She's made some bad life choices. She lives with regret, possibly struggles with addiction. But we see a woman as she approaches Jesus, a woman that's broken. Here's a woman that's broken down on the inside, a total contrast to the religious that invited Jesus into their house. Her garments aren't beautiful like theirs. As a matter of fact, they're probably dirty and tattered. Who knows what she looked like? She's the complete opposite of the Pharisees. But in spite of all that, she was drawn to Jesus. And so she finds out that Jesus is at Simon's house, and she sees this opportunity, and she throws herself at the feet of Jesus, and it almost becomes an embarrassing spectacle of this woman. I mean, you really have to have a vivid imagination of this woman who's broken, this prostitute that comes in and just, I mean, begins to wash his feet with her hair. Embarrassing. And Simon can see that Jesus is visibly pleased with the actions of this dirty, miserable sinner. Oh, come on, somebody ought to just say amen right there. Because I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life where I felt, man, in order for me to even begin to measure up, I'm going to have to get way, 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 way up there. I'll never measure up. Matter of fact, the best person in this place will never measure up. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long it's been since you smoked a cigarette, put a needle in your arm, or put a bottle to your lips. It doesn't matter. Amen. Because the Bible says it's level ground at the cross. Level ground at the cross. You'll never measure up. Jesus looks at this woman, and man sees the outward, but God sees the heart. Jesus hears Simon's thoughts. He's a mind reader. Amen. He's a superhero. He can walk on water. Can you say amen? I can walk on water too, but I can only do it a few months out of the year. And then it starts to melt. Amen. Look at verse 44 again, if we could, and we'll move right into our third point. But he says he turned to the woman. He said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in." What you're seeing here, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is worship. This is what worship is. Amen. It comes out of a brokenness. He says, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." But I want you to pay special attention to verse 47, because it says something very powerful. "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." She was a failure. She was broken. Who knows what other struggles she had? And here's the thing that separated her from the Pharisees and separated her from Simon in that house today, is that she loved much. She loved God. She loved Jesus. Here's a sinner, but she loved much. She had problems. She had things that she was working out. She no doubt had a lot of baggage that she took into that place. But those words are so powerful for you and me today. She loved much. And God sees the heart, and Jesus sees the heart. And I'm going to tell you something. Every time you come down to this altar and there's a brokenness in you, and I don't know how many times I've seen people that were weeping and crying and just like unloading everything. I feel sorry for people that never go to the altar. It's almost like from the chairs to here. Now, some of you might disagree with me, and that's okay. But it's almost like, and I'm not making a doctrine out of this, I'm not getting super spiritual, but as you step into this very area, it's like this is the atmosphere right here. This is the atmosphere where God and the Holy Spirit is doing business and working and shaping and dealing with people's hearts. And there's a comfort in coming to the altar and laying it all down. And just like this woman, you're broken and you fall at the feet of Jesus and you begin to worship him. And all you can say is, "God, you see the dirty and the filthy, and you see what I am and the mistakes that I've made, but she loved much." And God takes that. That's where God begins to work on the heart. That's where God begins to take all that brokenness. And he says, "Here's something that I can work with." That's true worship. Amen. You got to get this tonight, because I believe that there's a lot of frustrated Christians. Frustrated. All you do is work. All you do is, am I good enough? Am I doing it right? Do this, do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this. And you live by that every day. Why don't you just put all that inside you and say, "You know what, God, I am what I am, and I love you. Love much. Love God. Let God work it out instead of you working it out." You'll fail every time. Perform, perform, perform. God will take off the religious garments, and that's where your righteousness comes from, because he takes the robe of righteousness, what he paid for at the cross, and he puts it over the back of every person that is willing to accept God's grace. Can you say amen? That's true worship. It's not what you do, it's who you are. It's who you are. It comes out of a heart, I believe, that's desperate for God. We don't get desperate for God. No, we don't get desperate for God. You know how I know that? Come to prayer in the morning at 7 o'clock. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just show up tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and I'll show you what desperation is. No, they don't get desperate until they got the handcuffs on. They don't get desperate until they get that call at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night that their teenage son or teenage daughter has been in a car accident, and you need to rush down to Memorial Hospital. That's when they start getting desperate and getting on the phone and calling the pastors and calling everybody else. Are you desperate tonight? They're not desperate until they realize, oh my gosh, this addiction has taken over. It started out, amen, feeding a piece of meat through the chain link fence to a dog, and all of a sudden, man, it's gone out of control. Then you get desperate. Somebody say amen tonight. A heart that's desperate. She loved much, and I believe true worship comes out of a heart that longs for God. Psalm 63, 1 and 2 in the NIV says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and a weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power in your glory. I want to just conclude with this story. I wrote this message and put this message together maybe 2 or 3 days after Rebecca, amen, I know her as Watkins, amen, passed and went to be with Jesus, and that God was doing something in her life. We were having a tent revival out in the parking lot, and she had been coming, amen, I mean, consistently every service, I mean, pressing in. God was dealing with her about some of the issues that she had, and she was tackling those things. She wasn't perfect. She was by far from perfect. And how many times do I remember being in a service when I can say the exact spot over on this spot to my left and your right, I would see Rebecca, and she would be down on her knees. She'd be weeping and crying, weeping and crying. For what? I don't know. I don't need to know. You don't need to know. That's between her and God. But I do know that she was a woman that was broken, and she'd be the first down at the altar, and she'd be the last one to get up, and tears would be covering her face. You know why she did that? Because she loved much. She had no idea that she'd be going into eternity. The last thing I want to leave with you is that your life song doesn't stop when your heartbeat stops. Because here I am, 3.5 years later, still talking about her and the lives that she affected because of how much she loved Jesus. And not a single person in this place is better than her. Not a single person. I heard Brian Houston on, I was listening to, watching Hillsong TV last night, and Brian Houston was on there, and he was talking about how when they first started that church is big, Hillsong Church is huge, and when they first started, they were meeting in a gymnasium, and they were struggling to get that thing started. It was just him and his wife and a few others, and they were in that gymnasium renting it out, and there was one guy that came in, a young guy, and you know, he was there just to check out this new work, this new thing. And Brian Houston said they were in that gymnasium preaching, and there was two ropes that were hanging, and they were not far too far from where the stage was. And he said, I don't know what got into me, but I ran and grabbed that, jumped onto that rope and swung out over the crowd and came back to the stage. Amen. Sounds like a Holy Ghost tent revival. Amen. And that young man saw that and he thought, man, that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And he went and he told like 6 or 7 other friends. He said, you got to come check this church out. First of all, the preaching is good. But this guy went and jumped like a monkey on the rope, and he swung around, and he took them to that church, and they loved that church, and they stayed. And for 3 weeks straight, he had already invited 30 people that actually came to church with him. And then they got the call that he was killed in a motorcycle accident. Only 3 weeks. But he touched 30 lives. Just because your life song, amen, your life song doesn't stop when your heartbeat stops, amen. Living a life of worship, it's not what we do, it's who you are. That's your testimony. You're a trophy of grace. That's right. It doesn't matter what your dad says. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what the court says. Amen. It doesn't matter what your past. None of those things define you. But when God sees you and he sees the blood of Jesus, he sees a trophy of grace. And he's proud of you. That's hard for us to accept. Some of us, that's really hard because you never had a dad tell you that he was proud of you. Maybe there's people in here tonight, you've never accomplished or succeeded in certain things, and you feel like a failure. Or because of some of the things you've done, the people that you've heard, that you just have this stigma that's going to follow you around, and nobody ever loves you. All I can tell you is if you have the blood of Jesus, you have somebody that loves you, and he's proud of you, and you are a trophy of grace. And you have a testimony. You have a life song. You have a life song that says, you know, as I breathe and walk and live, amen, I worship God. I worship God. Can you say amen? Let my life song sing to you. Let me finish with this. Psalm 51, 16 and 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. Our musicians are coming tonight. Christians are praying. There's another scripture that says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I told him in Breakaway on Friday night that we're real people. This church, we're real people. And surprise, surprise, we have real problems. We might be able to hide it pretty good, amen, by putting on a jacket and putting on a tie, lifting our hands, acting like we got it all together. But guess what? At the end of the day, you're real. You're a real person with real problems, but we serve a real God. We serve a real God. This isn't religion tonight. This is letting God do something real in your life. This is letting God change your life. These aren't games, amen. This is me putting myself in the hands of God and saying, God, shape me, mold me, change my heart, change my mind, change my words, how I talk, change how I think. These tormenting thoughts, these evil, perverted thoughts, change my mind. I submit myself. I surrender to you, God. I surrender. Why can't we just come to God like this woman? Forget about what people think. Forget it. It's a Wednesday night. Amen. Pretty soon this service will be dismissed. We'll go on about our business. But right now God's dealing with some people. Let's just come to the feet of Jesus. Let's break open our alabaster box. That alabaster box was expensive. It was something precious to her. Why don't we just break ourselves on God? Empty ourselves on God. Pour ourselves out. Say, God, take me. I want to worship you. She loved much. She loved much. He loves you tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed in reverence to God all over this place, you can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. You feel that tug on your heart. God's speaking to you. He wants to help. And you say, you know what? I'm not right with God tonight. Let's just put it that way. I'm not right with God. You know who you are, and you know what it is, and you know it's not right with God. But you'd be willing to say, I'm going to empty myself because I don't want to leave this place like I came. I want God to change me. I'm not right with God. If that's you, quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. How many honest people? How many real people we got in this place? You say, that's me. God bless you. Thank you, Jerome. How many more? Honest hearts. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. God bless you. Kevin, thank you. How many more? You say, that's me. Honest people. God bless you. Thank you. God is good. God is so good, folks. How many more? You're backslidden in your heart. You can feel you're slipping, you're slipping, you're slipping. You need to regain ground with God. God bless you. I see that hand. How many more? Some of you, you're just about to jump over the fence. And the Holy Spirit is warning you. Those dogs are going to get you. That sin is going to maul you. God's dealing with your heart. You need to get that right with God tonight. Get it right with God. God don't hate you. Come on, folks. He loves you. Let's all stand to our feet in this place tonight. Amen. I know God's moving. God's going to help tonight. We're just going to open up these altars for anybody and everybody. You raised your hand. You didn't raise your hand. Amen. Maybe you just need God to heal your back. That's fine. Let's find a place at these altars. Amen. You need a miracle in your marriage, your finances, whatever it is right here. This is the place right here. Come find a place in these altars. Amen. Amen.